power motion number 8. Cheerfulness enhances your self-esteem, it makes life more fun, and it causes the people around you to feel happier as well. Being cheerful does not mean that you're Pollyanna or that you look at the world through rose-colored glasses and refuse to acknowledge any challenges. It means you're incredibly intelligent because you know that living in pain will not give you solutions. But if you live your life in a state of pleasure with a sense of positive expectation, a sense of expectation that's so intense that you transmit this positive sense of joy to those people around you, then there's no question you can come up with solutions. You can have the impact that you want on people, and you can meet any challenge that comes your way. Cheerfulness is power. Power emotion number 9. Nurturing your own vitality is critical. If you don't take care of your health, it's more difficult to be able to enjoy your emotions. Contrary to popular belief, sitting still does not preserve energy. The human nervous system needs to move to have energy. As you move, oxygen flows throughout your system, and that physical level of health creates the emotional sense of vitality that you need in order to turn any challenge into an opportunity and in order to enjoy your entire life. Power motion number 10. The secret to living is giving. There's no richer emotion I know of than the sense of contribution. Ultimately, feeling that who you are as a person and how you lived your life, that what you've said and what you've done has really touched others in a deep and meaningful manner, that's the ultimate gift in life. Go out today and contribute something simple, something deep, something real from yourself. Part 8, take the 10-day mental challenge. The mark of a true champion is consistency. After all, who wants to create results just once in a while? Who wants to feel joyous for only a moment or be at peak performance only sporadically? We want to do it consistently. We want to experience all of the emotions that make life worthwhile all the time, not just once in a while. So how do you establish consistency? It's all based on your habits. Knowing what to do is not enough. You must do what you know. Would you buy a new Ferrari only to let it sit in your driveway? Would you purchase the most up-to-date computer only to pack it away in the closet? I'm sure your answer would be a resounding no. By the same token, would you listen to this program and fail to use the powerful tools it contains? Probably not. That's why throughout this section, I'll offer you a simple plan for interrupting your old patterns of thinking or feeling, or maybe even behaving, and then show you how to immediately put into practice some new empowering strategy that you've already learned. I guarantee that if you'll follow this plan to the letter, you'll be able to make your new emotional patterns absolutely consistent. Every successful person I know has the capacity to remain centered, clear, and powerful in the midst of what I call emotional storms. How do they accomplish this? I've discovered most of these individuals have a fundamental rule. Never spend more than 10% of your time on a problem, and always spend at least 90% of your time on the solution. The single most important step in weeding the gardens of our minds is to interrupt our limiting patterns of thinking and feeling. The best way to accomplish this is to take what I call the 10-day mental challenge, thereby taking conscious control over our thoughts. This process is a splendid opportunity to eliminate negative and destructive patterns. Quite simply, here's the challenge. For the next 10 days, beginning immediately, commit to taking full control over all your mental and emotional faculties. Decide right now that you will not allow yourself to indulge in or dwell on any resourceful thought or emotion for 10 consecutive days. It sounds easy, it's a tough task, but it's one that'll change your life. Welcome to 10 days unlike any you've lived before. Here are the rules of the game. 1. For the next 10 consecutive days, I want you to refuse to dwell on any unresourceful thoughts or feelings. Refuse to indulge in any disempowering questions or devitalizing vocabulary or metaphors. 2. When you catch yourself beginning to focus on the negative, use any of the techniques you've learned to immediately redirect your focus. You might ask yourself, what's actually great about this situation? How can I use this emotion to call me to action, for example? 3. Set yourself up for success each morning for the next 10 days by asking yourself what I call the morning questions. They simply are these. What am I really happy about in my life right now? Or what could I be happy about if I wanted to be? How does that make me feel? What am I really excited about in my life right now? Or what could I be excited about if I wanted to? What am I really grateful for in my life right now? Or what could I be grateful for if I wanted to feel grateful? How does that feel in my life now? And finally, who do I love and who loves me? And notice how that makes you feel. This will put you in a great mental state and start your mental pattern in the right direction. 4. For the next 10 consecutive days, make certain that your entire focus is on solutions and not on problems. The moment you perceive a possible challenge, immediately focus on a possible solution for that challenge. And finally, 5, if you catch yourself indulging in an unresourceful thought or feeling, don't beat yourself up as long as you change your state immediately. However, if you do continue to dwell on that unresourceful thought or feeling for any measurable length of time, you must wait until the following morning and then start the 10 days all over again, regardless of how many days in a row you've already completed. This will keep you on track and give you the leverage to manage your mind. How can you gain additional leverage to ensure that you stick to the 10-day mental challenge? Announce to your friends and family, maybe even your associates, what you're doing, and enlist their support in helping you to stay on track. Or even better yet, find a partner who wants to take on the 10-day mental challenge along with you. It's also an excellent idea to keep a written journal the whole time you're meeting this mental challenge. By writing down and recording how you successfully deal with these unresourceful thoughts or emotions, you'll literally be creating an invaluable roadmap that you can review in the future whenever you seem to hit a mental or emotional detour. What will the 10-day mental challenge do for you? Well, it'll make you acutely aware of all the habitual mental and emotional patterns that have held you back in the past. 2, it'll force you to search for empowering alternatives. 3, it'll give you an incredible jolt of confidence every time you take control of your thoughts and you turn the situation around. 4, most importantly, it'll help you create new habits, new standards, and a new set of expectations that can lead you to a richer experience of your life. And finally, 5, success is processional. It results from a series of small disciplines. Like a freight train picking up speed, this exercise in leaving behind old patterns and fueling yourself with new ones will give you unprecedented momentum. Is this just a 10-day exercise? Not really. You never have to return to your old negative patterns again if you don't want to. This is your opportunity to get addicted to a positive focus for the rest of your life. If, after banishing your toxic mental patterns for 10 days, you wish to return, be my guest. But I don't think you will. I'm willing to bet that once you become aware of the possibilities, going back would seem disgusting to you. Just remember that if you ever get off track, you know how to use a variety of tools to put yourself back on the high road immediately. Part 9, putting it all together. Start reaping the rewards of some of the strategies, tools, and daily lessons in self-mastery that we've been learning here. As you listen to this section, you'll focus on several major areas, physical, financial, and relationships, and create a method for ensuring that you live in accordance with your highest standards each and every day of your life. Just as you've learned to condition your nervous system to produce the behaviors that will give you the results you want, your physical destiny depends on how you condition your metabolism and your muscles to produce the levels of energy and fitness you desire. What do you do regularly, consistently, to take care of your body and produce the level of health and energy that you desire and that you deserve? Or what will you do starting today? What causes the human body to function at peak efficiency? The incredible accomplishment of Stu Middleman illustrates the power of some basic principles. Middleman broke the world's long-distance record by running over 1,000 miles in 11 days and 19 hours. He averaged more than 84 miles a day. Can you imagine? Perhaps even more amazing is that, according to witnesses, he looked better at the end of his run than at the starting line. He suffered no injuries, not even a blister. What allowed him to stretch his body to its limits and still maximize his potential without injuring it? First, by devoting years of training to his mind and his body, Middleman proved that we can adapt to anything if we make the right demands upon ourselves incrementally. What was the second distinction that enabled Stu Middleman to set a new world long-distance record? Simply that health and fitness are not the same. See, what is fitness? According to Dr. Philip Maffetone, he said it's, quote, the physical ability to perform athletic actions. Health, however, is defined much more broadly as the state where all of the systems of the body are working in an optimal way. Many people think that fitness implies health, but the two don't necessarily go hand in hand. You can achieve fitness at the expense of your health, and you may not live long enough to enjoy your spectacular physique. So how do we maximize our health? The best way is to understand the difference between aerobic and anaerobic exercise, between endurance and power. The word aerobic literally means, quote, with oxygen, and it refers to moderate exercise that is sustained over a period of time. If you activate your endurance with aerobic exercise, you train your body to burn fat as its primary fuel. Anaerobic, on the other hand, means with oxygen, and it refers to exercise that produces short bursts of power. Anaerobic exercise burns glycogen as its primary fuel, and it causes the body literally to store fat. Do you consider yourself to be healthy, fit, or neither one? And how do you exercise, aerobically or anaerobically? Make sure you're exercising consistent with your goals. Here's how to begin to incorporate consistent, pleasurable exercise into your lifestyle. 1. Determine whether your regular exercise is aerobic or anaerobic. Do you wake up feeling tired? Do you feel famished? Do you experience wild mood swings and/or feel aches and pains after working out? Does that same layer of fat cling to you despite your most diligent efforts? If you answered yes to some or all of these questions, chances are that you're exercising in a consistently anaerobic state. 2. Purchase a portable heart rate monitor to help you stay within optimal aerobic training zones. It's one of the best investments you ever make. And finally, 3. Develop a plan to begin to condition your metabolism to burn fat and produce consistent levels of energy. Stick to this plan for at least 10 days and you'll begin to feel the difference. Few things in life are more important to master than your relationships. Success is unfulfilling unless you have someone to share it with. Indeed, the most highly sought emotion is that of connection or love. Let's consider some organizing principles that are really fundamental to the success of any relationship, especially your love relationships. The only way a relationship will last is if you see it as a place you go to give, not a place you go to take or get something. In your relationships each day, what's the most valuable thing that you give to your relationship that you feel proud about and you feel good about as a human being? So many times, relationships break up without people even knowing what really went wrong. The most important way to ensure success in any relationship is to communicate clearly up front. Make sure your partner knows what your rules are for the relationship, what's most important to you, what your expectations are, and vice versa. And then there won't be the surprises that create so much pain. Also, use transformational vocabulary to keep upsets from being blown out of proportion. For example, instead of saying, "I can't stand it when you do that," you might say, "You know, I'd really prefer it if you would do something else other than that. That sometimes feels frustrating to me." Is your love relationship one of the highest priorities in your life? If not, it'll take a backseat to all the other more urgent things that happen every day, and gradually your passion will dissipate. Don't allow familiarity to habituate you to the intense excitement and gratitude you feel for having this special person in your life. Do something today, something unique and simple, to let that person know how much you care. If you want your relationship to last, here is a law. Never, never threaten the relationship. Just making the statement, "If you do that, then I'm leaving," creates the possibility of a relationship ending. Instead, focus each day on how can you make the relationship just a bit better. Every couple I've ever known or studied that had a lasting and fulfilling relationship has made it a rule that no matter how angry or how hurt they feel, they never, ever threaten to leave. One of the best things you can do each day to renew your experience of what you love about the person you're in a relationship with is to reinforce your feelings of connection and renew your feelings of intimacy and attraction by asking a simple question. Asking it out loud, asking it in front of the person, and asking it of yourself. And that question is this: how did I get so lucky to have you in my life? Also, if you'll simply embark on a never-ending quest to find new ways to surprise and show your appreciation for each other, you can't believe the joy and the attraction this creates. Don't take your lover for granted. Find and create those special moments that make your relationship legendary. What's something you could do today for the special someone that you love so much? Don't just think about it. Do it. Many people make the mistake of thinking that all the problems in their lives would disappear if they just had enough money. Yet earning more money in and of itself rarely frees people. It's equally ridiculous, however, to tell yourself that greater financial freedom and the mastery of finance would not offer more opportunities to grow, to share, and to create value not only for yourself, but for others as well. After years of studying some of the most successful people in our culture, I've discovered there are really five major lessons to financial mastery. The first key is the ability to create wealth. If you can find a way to increase the value of what you do by at least 10 to 15 times, then you can easily increase your income. How do you do this? Start by asking yourself, how can I be worth more to this company? How can I help it to achieve more in less time and with less expense? In what ways could I help cut costs while increasing the profitability and the quality? What new systems could I implement? What new technology could I use to give this company a competitive edge? The second key to financial mastery is to maintain your wealth. And while this sounds very simple, most people have a great deal of difficulty with this. Most people have more month at the end of the money. The only way to do this is to spend less than you earn and learn to invest the difference so that you can begin to move in a whole new financial realm. Saving money is a worthwhile goal, but by itself it won't bring you economic abundance. The third key to mastering your finances is to increase your wealth, to grow it. To accomplish this, you must spend less than you earn, invest the difference, and then here's the secret: reinvest your returns for compounded growth. Compounding puts your money to work for you by increasing exponentially. The pace at which you can achieve financial independence is in direct proportion to your willingness to reinvest, that is, not spend the profits of your past investments. No one wants to be a target, and very often people subconsciously sabotage themselves from doing well financially because they don't want to deal with the negativity associated to it. The fourth key to financial mastery is to protect your wealth. In today's litigious atmosphere, many people who are wealthy actually feel more insecure than when they had fewer assets, simply because they know that they now could be sued at any moment because they're a nice target, sometimes for completely frivolous reasons. The good news is there are legal avenues for protecting your assets as long as you're currently not involved in a lawsuit. Do you need to consider asset protection? If you aren't yet concerned with this issue, now is the time to start consulting the experts and modeling the masters, just as you would in any other important area of your life. And again, this is something we teach at our Master University, but you can pursue this with your own attorneys as well. Don't wait too long to start taking pleasure in economic abundance. The fifth key to financial mastery is to enjoy your wealth. Most people wait until they've accumulated a certain amount of money to start enjoying themselves. But unless you link pleasure to creating added value and earning money, you'll never keep it long term. So reward yourself occasionally with a jackpot of some surprise bonus. Also, consider the power of tithing. By giving away a portion of what you earn, you literally teach yourself that there is more than enough. True wealth is an emotion anyway. It's a feeling of absolute abundance. And in reality, money has no value unless we share its positive impact with the people we care about. And as we discover ways to contribute in proportion to our incomes, we tap into one of life's greatest joys. Part 10, The Ultimate Gift. For more than a decade, I've had the unique honor of working with people from virtually all walks of life, from the privileged to the impoverished. One thing stands clear, regardless of stature, only those who've learned the power of sincere and selfless contribution experience life's deepest joy, that of true fulfillment. We've all had close encounters with a feeling of selfless contribution, maybe providing a friend with a helping hand, showing a child how to master a problem, assisting a coworker with a difficult project, helping an elderly person down a treacherous flight of stairs. These experiences give us a moment of exaltation in which we catch a glimmer of our essential selves, and it moves us to be truly inspired by those who consistently give of themselves. This section really is my invitation to you to become an even greater and more consistent giver, to join a spirited team who is committed to sharing the gift of possibility with those who seek to improve the quality of their lives. How does a person really make a difference? Well, the history of the world is simply a chronicle of the deeds of the small number of ordinary people who had extraordinary levels of commitment. These individuals who had a positive influence and the power to make a meaningful difference in the quality of our lives are the men and women we all call heroes. I believe that you and I, everyone we'll ever meet, have the innate capacity to be heroic, to take daring, courageous, and noble steps to make life better for others, even when in the short term it seems to be at our own expense. The capability to do the right thing, to dare to take a stand, to make a difference, is within you right now. The question is, when the moment arrives, will you remember you're a hero and selflessly respond in support of these people's needs, or will you back off? I believe that if you apply what we've talked about in this tape, there's no question what you'll do. You'll stand tall. You might assume that Mother Teresa was born to heroism, but as a teaching nun in a relatively wealthy section of Calcutta, she rarely crossed to the poorer parts of the town, even though they were right nearby. One evening, however, she heard the cries of a dying woman. Mother Teresa rushed to her aid, and spent the rest of the night unsuccessfully seeking to aid her at various hospitals. When the woman finally died in her arms, Mother Teresa's life was transformed forever. She had what I call a defining moment, perhaps the divine moment. She vowed that night that as long as she lived, no one within the reach of her influence would ever die again without dignity and love. Is there a specific time in your life that you can point to as your defining moment? Take a moment to think about this and cultivate the emotion of that moment to strengthen your passion and commitment to giving. What makes a hero? A hero is a person who courageously contributes even under the most trying circumstances. A hero is an individual who acts unselfishly and who demands more from himself or herself than anyone else could possibly expect. A hero is someone who defies adversity by doing what he or she believes is right in spite of fear. It's important to remember that our everyday decisions will shape the world we pass on to future generations. What do you put on your dinner plate? What cosmetics do you use? What household products do you buy? These lifestyle choices determine in a small yet undeniable way such things as how much carbon dioxide is being released into our atmosphere, as well as how many plant and animal species will actually be eliminated each and every day. By the same token, the decisions you make every day can help stop the destruction of the rainforest, restore the delicate balance of our ecosystem, and create a legacy of hope for generations to come. Please read further in my original book, Awaken the Giant Within, to find the steps that you can take today. We don't need to wait until we have some grandiose master plan to make a difference. We can have an impact in a moment. In doing the smallest things, we can often have a huge impact. In making what often seems like an insignificant decision, there is a processional effect. It's true that most of our heroes are hidden behind what appears to be small acts done consistently. Look around you. There are heroes everywhere. Look to history. Imagine the power of a small decision of a woman named Rosa Parks when she said no to a bus driver. There are heroes everywhere. Why are so many people afraid to make even the smallest effort to help others? One of the most common reasons is that they are just embarrassed. They're afraid of being rejected or appearing foolish. But you know what? If you want to play the game of life and win, you've got to play full out. You've got to be willing to feel stupid sometimes. You've got to be willing to try things that might not work. Otherwise, how can you innovate? How can you grow? How can you discover who you really are? Go do something you think is stupid or feels weird, but you think could contribute. Do it today. Life is a balance between giving and receiving, between taking care of yourself and taking care of others. The next time you see someone in trouble, instead of just passing by or feeling guilty about being unable to help, get excited about what you can do. Perhaps you can offer something as simple as a kind word or a smile that'll cause that person maybe to think or feel differently about themselves. Maybe you can help this person begin to feel appreciated or even loved just within a moment's interaction. If there's one command we must all live by, it's that we must live fully while we're here. Experience everything you can in your life. Take care of yourself and your friends. Have fun. Be crazy. Be weird. Go out and screw up. You're going to anyway, so you might as well enjoy the process. In other words, take the opportunity to learn from your mistakes. Find the cause of your problems and eliminate them. Don't try to be perfect. Just be an example of being human, and your life will be a joy. What can change your life? Many things. A moment of deep thought, a few decisions as you complete this program could change everything. So could a conversation with a dear friend, a seminar, a movie, a big, fat, juicy problem that causes you to expand and become more in order to deal with it. This is the awakening that you seek. So live in an attitude of positive expectancy, knowing that everything that happens in your life benefits you in some way. Know that you are guided along the path of never-ending growth and learning, and with it, the path of everlasting love. This is Anthony Robbins saying thank you for spending this time with me. I hope some of these ideas have touched you or moved you or gotten you to take some action and make some aspect of your life better. I hope you'll return to this program and use it as a tool for continued growth. And I hope that someday I'll have the privilege of meeting you and maybe hearing your story of success. Until then, remember to expect miracles because you are one. And be a bearer of the light. Be a force for good. Share your gifts. Share your passion. And may God bless you.
Giant steps, small changes to make a big difference. Daily lessons in self-mastery was written and read by Anthony Robbins. It was directed by Tony Boyle, with special thanks to Karen Risch. The executive producer was Sandra K. Moore. Giant Steps, Small Changes to Make a Big Difference was produced by Karen Perlman. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. For more information about Anthony Robbins seminars, books, or other tapes, please call Robbins Research International Incorporated at 1-800-445-8183.